This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at some of the promise and the limitations of ethanol as an alternative fuel. We'll also get our forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. State and federal officials are teaming up with business and labor to lure the massive Future Gen project to East Central Illinois. Yesterday, officials announced a new task force of congressmen, state lawmakers, business, labor, and other experts to land the billion-dollar power plant designed to turn coal into low-pollution gas. Tuscola and Mattoon are two sites among four finalists for the facility to be chosen late next year. The other two sites are in Texas. It will function as a power plant, but Future Gen will also serve as a research facility. Sean Crawford explains how it will operate.
Once constructed, Future Gen will burn coal to provide enough electricity to power only about 150,000 homes. But that's not the facility's main goal. Illinois Economic Development Director Jack Lavin says Future Gen will serve as a laboratory where new technology can be studied.
It's bringing a number of different technologies and putting them into one facility.
The aim is to create energy without harming the environment. Various types of coal will be used with no harmful emissions, and that will be accomplished through a process known as sequestering, where carbon dioxide created when coal is burned is sent far underground. The harmful gas will remain under buried rocks rather than being sent into the atmosphere. Hydrogen will also be produced at the plant for use in fuel cells. Future Gen is a partnership between the federal government and several of the world's largest energy producers. They'll operate it once it opens, which is scheduled for the year 2013. I'm Sean Crawford.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says four new Amtrak trains starting late this month should be just the start of an expansion of Illinois' passenger rail service. Durbin was in Champaign yesterday for a summit on the future of Amtrak. A number of downstate mayors appealed to Amtrak's president, Alex Cumont, on routes to additional cities. Durbin says Peoria and Rockford are among the sites that should prompt feasibility studies by Amtrak.
It means fewer cars on the highway, less pollution, and it means that it's good for their economies. How do you sell a town like Galena or Rockford to a business person? Well, they want to know first and foremost, what about transportation? How do you get there? What happens? Is it congested highways? Is there another option? Put all this into a package, and you see that that's the way you bring in a new business and new jobs.
Durbin says while federal funding for Amtrak needs a boost, the rail service, as any other in the world, will never be self-sustaining. But he says Amtrak could be more efficient. Durbin says Amtrak ridership in the state has increased to more than 3 million people a year. The rail service recently announced the addition of additional trains connecting Chicago with Carbondale, Quincy, and St. Louis, the result of $24 million in state funding. Criticism about language on the form used to file complaints against Champaign police may lead to a possible revision, and it could lead to serious discussion of a police citizens review board for the city. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The form used for lodging a complaint about Champaign police conduct asks for a signature to verify the complainant is telling the truth. The form warns that filing a false complaint could lead to criminal or civil prosecution. Martell Miller told city council members such language is intimidating when the police themselves are investigating the complaint.
The police officer can sue you and you can be brought charges against if the complaint is unfounded.
But Assistant Police Chief Troy Daniels says simply having one's complaint dismissed does not warrant prosecution or a lawsuit.
Just because the complaint would be unfounded would definitely not be a reason to charge someone. There'd have to be evidence to show that the person was actually lying and making up a false accusation.
Mayor Jerry Schweihart suggested the warning language be sent back for revision, but Councilwoman Gina Jackson said the council should go further and discuss forming a citizens review board to handle complaints about police, perhaps one with more teeth than what's currently under discussion in Champaign. By the end of the meeting, she had gathered enough signatures from council members to put the issue on the agenda of an upcoming city council study session. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign City Council has approved a $17.3 million property tax levy, one that's calculated to cushion property tax bills next year. The action would lower the city's property tax rate by about a penny and a half. City officials say the average property tax bill in Champaign would still go up, but by no more than the rate of inflation. The change would cut nearly $229,000 from an original tax levy. The Urbana City Council is expected to vote on a similar tax cut to keep its tax rate in line with Champaign's. Finland's top representative to the United States sees his country taking a deeper role in building the relationship between the U.S. and Russia. Russia is Finland's largest neighbor, and since the fall of the Soviet Union, the once neutral country has strengthened ties with the European Union, becoming a full member 11 years ago. Ambassador Pekka Lintu acknowledges that since Europe and the U.S. are the two largest trading powers, it can lead to occasional well-publicized trade disputes.
But one has to remember that this kind of trade disputes or trade talks, bilateral ones, are only 1 or 2% of the overall trade flow that we have. So, I mean, they don't blur the total picture, which is very good and beneficial trade for both sides.
Finland holds the rotating presidency of the European Union. Lintu says his country is using its presidency to focus on improving European competitiveness. Finland is the home of the cell phone company Nokia, which has helped the country build its influence. Lintu was the guest of the University of Illinois' European Union Day organizers. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. This summer, drivers got a crash course in the dangers of fossil fuel. Gasoline prices shot above $3 a gallon. Concerns about global warming surged. And instability continued to plague areas of the world where oil is produced. In the weeks ahead, we'll be taking a look at some of the technologies that could help the U.S. kick its fossil fuel habit. We're starting with an alternative fuel that's been sprouting up in gas stations across the region. Dustin Dwyer has this look at the promise and limitations of ethanol.
This summer, Misty Childs found a way to do something positive about the fossil fuel problem. She says that she and her husband realized their Chevy Silverado pickup could run on E85, a blend of 85% corn-based ethanol and 15% gasoline. E85 burns cleaner than gas alone, so it's good for the environment. And the ethanol is made from corn grown in the U.S. As she tops off her tank at a gas station, Child says that makes a difference.
You know, it means a lot that we're doing something for our own country here and not having to rely on others.
Detroit's big three automakers have been making a big push for E85 in the last year. E85-capable vehicles get the automakers a credit on federal fuel economy standards. So even if drivers put regular gas in the vehicles instead of E85, Detroit still gets a credit for doing better. And this summer, as more buyers became aware of the problem with fossil fuels, E85 was just about the only alternative Detroit had to offer. But ethanol, as it's currently made, has limits. Jason Hill is a researcher at the University of Minnesota. He recently published a study on the long-term outlook for corn-based ethanol.
What we found is if you convert every corn kernel we produce in this nation to ethanol, we would be able to offset only about 12% of our national gasoline usage. So that's not that large. It's something, but it's not that large.
That's every corn kernel, including what we currently use for food. Which brings up another problem with ethanol. If E85 jumps in popularity, will that mean less corn for animal feed and grocery stores? Maybe. Corn originally became popular because it was already being grown around much of the country, with help from federal subsidies. And ethanol processors such as Archer Daniels Midland also got tax breaks for making corn-based fuel. But there's another option for ethanol. Inside a lab at Michigan State University, researchers are working on the next generation of the fuel. This is what's called cellulosic ethanol. Instead of using grains like corn kernels, cellulosic ethanol is made from the starches in plant cell walls. It can be made from pretty much anything that stands up straight, such as wood or prairie grasses. That offers the possibility to increase the ethanol output for every acre of land devoted to the crops. And those crops don't require fossil fuel-based fertilizer. They also don't require planting every year by gas or diesel-burning tractors, the way that corn does. Professor Bruce Dale heads research into cellulosic ethanol at MSU. He says the current problem with cellulosic ethanol is finding a cheap way to break down the stiff materials. His lab uses ammonia to do the trick.
The idea is to make cheap sugar. And the plant cell walls potentially could give you the cheapest sugar on the planet if we could figure out how to get at that sugar easily. That's what our ammonia process does in combination with the enzymes.
It turns out that much like a teenager eating Pop Rocks, cars and trucks get a whole lot of energy from fuels based on sugar. Dale says most woody plants have plenty of sugar, but it's really hard to get that sugar out. Dale says some cellulosic ethanol could be on the market in the next few years, and the fuel could eventually sell for about 60 cents a gallon. Right now, ethanol is still hard to find at the pumps. And one study says, even with major investment over the next decade, cellulosic ethanol might only equal half of our current oil usage by 2050. That's still a lot, but to really eliminate the need for gas, many experts say it'll take more than just one technology. For the Environment Report, I'm Dustin Dwyer.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
We'll see the return of a little bit of sunshine and some cooler weather as well. Today in northern and western Illinois, our forecaster Mike Soll is calling for cloudy skies and scattered showers arriving. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy and highs from 50 in far northwest Illinois to 75 degrees in the far south. For tonight, cloudy with widespread showers and an isolated thunderstorm most likely in the south and lows from 30 in northwest Illinois to 55 far south. And then for tomorrow, in northern and west central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy and cooler. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with occasional showers and highs from around 50 in the north to 58 in southern Indiana. Friday's outlook, partly sunny. And Saturday, look for a chance of clouds and showers in central and southern sections, increasing in coverage across the two states on Saturday afternoon. And highs on Friday and Saturday, mostly in the 50s with some 60s in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.